¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Sunday night edition of the Familia FFP podcast, week 12, primos.
Yo, man, nitty gritty.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Nitty gritty.
It's playoff time. It's playoff time. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, and the primos are in the house. Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes, ¿cómo estamos, boys?
Good, man.
Excited to be here. Just one league I did horrible in, and that's your, you know, the family's.
Like that's the one that matters.
Total 40 points total. It's like, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there with you.
Ay, ay, ay.
We'll see what happens.
Como eso duele. Eso duele. Yep. That's a nalgada that you don't want to have.
Right.
Well, gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our original content at familiaffp.com, where we'll have a little bit, some breakdowns on this weekend's games, including the Thursday games, and our social media channels at familiaffp on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our familiaffp Facebook page. Well, primos, I had an adios mio as I was listening back to the last episode, because, you know, we talked about before the show a few days
ago,
número 100, and we got so caught up on all the tamales talk and the turkey talk and everything,
yeah,
and Mexican Thanksgiving, that, you know, I kind of like glossed over it. So 100 shows.
Woo, woo. Yeah, man,
it doesn't feel like it yet,
right?
How many hours is that?
Oh, it's got to be it's got to be over
how
90
many
hours.
many
it's got to be over 90 hours
a week.
It's got to be the equivalent of us talking nonstop for about 4 days.
Like 4 days, yeah. That's wild. that is wild, man. It's like a camping trip. That's what we do anyways on camping trips. Like, we talk about football for 4 days.
It's utterly amazing. It's utterly amazing. It's funny when Steve Mason was on the show, he told me, he said, you know, I think at that point we were like, you know, show 55 or something like that, and he said, hey, you know, that you guys are gonna make it, because he told me that 65% of podcasts on Apple have an updated show in a year. So
wow.
You know, so we'll have four this week. So just something to be proud of, boys. Something,
yeah, hell yeah. Congratulations, y'all.
Yeah, now sir. we got, and the good thing is we still got plenty to talk about, and we still kind of like each other.
I know, yeah, right.
though that never stopped us from arguing.
There you go.
Especially Ricky.
I'm just looking at how the schedule pans out. It's going to be tough within the family. Right now, it looks like we're going to have 5 teams, 7-5 from second to sixth place, with basically Raul and Hector trying to get the last spots.
Yikes.
And every one of those 6-6, 7-5 teams plays someone else, except for me and Heck. We're the only ones that play against each other. So,
oh,
wow.
It'll be fun.
Well, I will say, Primo Adan, you're welcome for Antonio Gibson.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I gave him Antonio Gibson. He gave me Julio Jones. So, no bueno.
Ouch.
That means he's going to be in the finals.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, let's talk about some highlights of today. And honestly, boys, you know, we'll talk about these guys in the Aimijo section, but Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, I mean, just unconscious. What?
With ease. They made it look so easy. Like, Mahomes never looked like he was trying too hard. Hill's just sliding around everywhere. It's disgusting. But, I mean, it's awesome to watch, because you're always like, how high can he go? How high can he go?
And there you go.
And he made it look,
now you know.
And he made it look so easy, Tyreek Hill. I mean, well, Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill made it look so easy.
Against a team that's supposed to be pretty good at defense, so...
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how I feel about Tampa Bay anymore.
I made them my Super Bowl pick. I'm going to ask for a do-over in week 16.
Yeah.
You'll know, said. I mean, they came back and made it respectable, and actually made it feel a lot closer than the game actually was, than the game actually felt. But yeah, just very, very, just an
they own
game.
The whole game.
Yeah,
and to get that many yards and only 27 points, it's like, wow. Like they were very, they had to have condensed a lot. But I think I think Mahomes either fumbled or threw an interception near the goal line, or not near the goal line, but in the red zone.
Right.
But yeah, he had 450 yards, and they only scored 27 points.
That is rare and weird.
He's sitting for the Broncos next week.
Good for him. Amazing numbers. Amazing numbers.
That's insane. That's just incredible. Wow.
Well, if I would have told you that the Titans were going to blow out the Colts 45-26 behind just monster days.
That stout defense that you and Hector have been just bragging about for Indy. I got minus 0.14 points because of you guys.
Oh. Hey, we helped you in other places.
Yeah.
We'll talk
about where we helped you in a
my
bit,
bad. My bad, Rick.
I will say I still thought they'd be I didn't think they'd give up 45 points today, but they were definitely down two of their best D linemen, and that's why Derrick Henry went crazy and AJ Brown just had one of the most beautiful catches and runs, when he had the onside kick that he caught
God.
How cool was that? And you know what's funny? I looked on Twitter because I was looking for the replay of it, and apparently ESPN does not count that. So they don't count special teams.
Special teams. Yeah, we don't count that.
Yeah, special
either.
Teams.
We don't in ours. It's up to the person in the league.
Oh.
What do you call it? DraftKings would only count the touchdown; they wouldn't count the yards.
Oh, that's fine. I'll take the touchdown. I don't care about the yards.
Right.
Yeah. My two leagues where I have AJ Brown, it counted, and I was very happy.
Wow.
I was very happy there, and not happy about the Rams.
How many points did he end up with?
He ended up with 25.
Even with that touchdown, he had to have had more.
Let me see. I'm looking.
Well, if he didn't get the yard, that's just 6 points, right? If he
25 didn't get the yards. Yeah, 25.8 because he had four. He only had four receptions, but it was for 98 yards. So yeah, he only got the 6 points. Yeah, like you said, he didn't get any receiving
yardage. Yeah, because that's not a reception. It's technically not a reception.
Nope. Rams just lost, what really was an ugly game for more than three quarters. And then they kind of made it interesting with two touchdowns to go ahead. And then just like they said in the Chavo del Ocho, se me chispoteó, the game just fell apart, and they gave up two late field goals and lost 23-20 on a walk-off. So, it just shows how the NFL is week to week. Because after Monday Night Football, people were talking about the Rams as a Super Bowl contender, and now,
week to week is right. We'll get into we'll talk about Derek Carr in a second, because he went from stud a week ago, three touchdown stud a week ago, Collinsworth like, man, this guy's looking awesome today, and that was last week, and then today he goes for like negative 4 points against a crappy defense in Atlanta. So. To your point, exactly.
They're not crappy, but yeah.
No, pretty crappy. I think they're ranked dead last against fantasy quarterbacks. So I would say, as far as fantasy,
that's actually
goes,
Seattle.
That, is it?
Seattle is, I think.
Okay,
Atlanta's last against receivers and tight ends.
Oh, okay. So they're last at something, which should bode well for Derek Carr, but. Alas, it did not. So we'll get into that in a second.
That's not the case anymore. The Packers smashed the Bears 41-25, where Aaron Rodgers just did. He looked like did whatever he wanted to do.
Count double check.
Yeah, exactly. He got the Rodgers price. We already talked about the destruction of the Raiders, the Falcons over the Raiders, just out of nowhere.
Ouch.
Today was a momentous day. Hector,
dun, dun,
dun. DFS for the first time. ¿Cómo te fue?
That was cool, man. I deposited $25 first thing in the morning. was like, all right, cool. So then I went down the list and I'm using all those skills that I learned in elementary school, mathematics, you know, adding and subtracting. 4,100 wow. minus, okay, minus this, I got 400 left. And okay, now I'm negative 200. So now I got to move this guy and do this instead and move that around. So yeah, but at the end of the day, it didn't work out well for me because as we just said, I started Derek Carr in my DFS team. So that is all you need to know. I did
not. I was right there with you, Primo. I stacked Carr with Waller and, you know, just blew up in my face. I don't even think I originally had Derrick Henry in my lineup and swapped him out for Keenan Allen. Yeah. I don't even know if Henry would have saved my day.
Yeah. But, I had Derrick Henry in my lineup at one point. I think I overshot the amount by like $100. So I went back and I erased him and I did some other shenanigans and finagling. And I ended up with Dalvin Cook in my lineup instead and Nick Chubb, which that was actually kind of cool having Chubb in there, but that was not enough.
Dang, you only scored 84 points.
Yeah, man.
And half of it was Chubb.
Yeah, exactly. Most of that was Nick Chubb. So yeah, not a good lineup.
I was only 6 points behind Georgie. So, and then I beat him in tonight. So
by less than a point.
My first soiree into DFS. I'll definitely be giving another shot next week.
Try it tomorrow night. Try the captain mode.
Oh, I could definitely try that.
The captain. Yeah, tomorrow should be some points scored. So tomorrow night should be a fun game with, Seattle and Philadelphia. And we'll chat about that one in a little bit. But Ricky, Bills Chargers wasn't the shootout that we expected.
It was still a lot of points, just a lot of fourth downs by the Chargers. They just couldn't convert. But other than that, I mean, it was a lot of action either way. A lot of stats both ways. A lot of mess ups by Allen. A lot of weird plays where Allen threw it to Beasley, who threw it for a touchdown, which if I would have scored more points, it would have helped me because I was going against Josh Allen, so that took one of his touchdowns away. But other than that, I mean, it was just a fun game if you watched the whole thing because there was a lot of action both sides. And you know what? Herbert still got over 300 yards. He's still looking pretty good. The Chargers, honestly, it was the coaching. Their coaching just looked really bad this game. The team didn't look like a unit. They were having like stupid mess ups, calling timeouts when they didn't need them. But you know what? What else did we expect?
Yeah, and the announcers were really banging on the coaching staff for not having the late timeouts and using timeouts. It's just, it's bad look. But yeah, you know what? You're right. This game felt like it had more points than 44 total points scored. That to me was very interesting about this game.
Well, we had a lot. We had a Singletary fumbled, Allen fumbled, or three interceptions. So it was nice. But then again, you had Herbert on the other side, not able to convert fourth downs. So it was a frustrating game. Eckler, 16 targets.
Oh, yeah.
Dude blew up.
SOC. There were two teams that kind of blew up their coaching and front office ranks. Lions. Yeah, before we get into the whole action, yeah, the Lions fired head coach Matt Patricia and GM Bob Quinn. So Dos por uno. Why? their record since they took over is like, 13-27 or something like that. So,
oh wow,
yeah, that one's bad.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just can't see how they would blame this season. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, there's layers to this, but I mean, Stafford's just been playing just bad football all year, and it's just, I don't know. I don't think because this is the same coach and the GM as last year. I mean, So last year, I mean, before Stafford got hurt, he was lighting things up and, oh my God, this is great. This coach is awesome. You know, wow, look what Stafford's doing. Then he gets hurt. And then he, comes back this year and same coach.
Doesn't have his Golladay.
But he's playing, exactly. He's playing crappy.
Doesn't have
Golladay's been out the majority of the season. And that's obviously been, a huge problem for Matt Stafford. So I just can't see that this seems to me to be more than
Drastic. Just a tad drastic.
Yeah,
it's drastic.
It is. It's a big knee-jerk reaction to, I think, something that is not, I think, it's out of their control.
Well, the one thing that I will say is, you know, this is their third year together. And the thing that Patricia came in, he came in with a reputation as a defensive genius. And they have not been good on defense the entire time. And they've made some high draft picks who were good, who on the defensive side, who just haven't panned out. So, you know, at some point, you know, if your team's not paying off, then you pay off with your job. And that's right. Too bad. I mean, I've heard Patricia get interviewed a few times and he's just incredibly likable. I mean, I know he's going to get another job, but
sure.
You know, it's one thing. I think he kind of suffers from the comparison to Brian Flores over in Miami, who in his second year, they're fighting for a playoff spot and their defense just completely turned around and he succeeded Patricia as the defensive coordinator. So we'll see where he ends up. He's one of those guys who's so well regarded in the league that he'll end up as a defensive coordinator. And, you know, maybe some guys are just meant to be the number two guy and not the number one.
Sure.
And the number one guy over at with the Jags, the GM, Dave Caldwell, also paid with his job. You know, that when you only have one win and it's week 12, and that one win was in the first week of the season, they're hoping that the Jets, mess up and win a game so they could have a chance at Trevor Lawrence.
Right. That's what they're going for sure.
Yeah. So
tank for Trevor, is that the new thing?
Tank for Trevor, tanking for Trevor. The Jets are tanking for Trevor. I was talking to my neighbor who's a big Jets fan, and he goes, "Oh yeah, they're tanking for Trevor.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They want that kid." Sure. So real quick rundown of the bets for Week 12. So far, I'm my bets are 1-3. Hector, I'm gonna get you and Nico back in the mix next week, but. Yeah. Jacksonville came through. They were plus 7, but Denver plus 16 was not enough. And the Jets plus 7, not enough. And so on Monday Night Football, I got the Eagles plus 6. So we're going to see on that one. So let's get into it. Ay-yay-yay. So Willie Snead, number 7 Ravens starter, to test positive for COVID-19, and that's
horrible. They're getting infected, man.
Oh, I mean, you know, and it's, you know, Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Melvin Ingram, James Conner on the Steelers. I mean, the game is still set for Tuesday, and I think the thing is they're hoping that that it's not going to be a full on outbreak, that maybe it calms down after today. Yeah,
we hope.
Yeah, man. Ricky, what do you think? Do you think it could?
I hope, but it's one of those things where when it gets around quick. So who knows who tests positive tomorrow morning? Today we found out about Willie Snead. So who knows tomorrow if it's more Ravens or if it lingers anywhere else? But they want to play the game. They want to play the game with replacements. I'm cool with that too. No, it's a Tuesday. I'm not sure who's going to be able to watch it. But you know what? It's a weird weekend because this affected a lot of lineups this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But at least there's not that many injuries this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I think before we get into the injuries, I think they're doing everything they can to play that game, and that they also played the game in Denver today when there were no quarterbacks, 24 hours ago. I think that just determines that the NFL is going to do whatever it can to not cancel games or even postpone.
They're not going to be putting a good product out there, but they're going to be putting a product.
Yeah, I think they're getting in and they're trying to play on the fact that teams are going to be going, that they have as deep rosters as possible. So, roster depth is going to have to pay off for some of these teams that suffered some injuries. Daniel Jones, hamstring injury, left the game. So that's going to be one that we got to keep an eye on. Philip Lindsay also left the game with a knee injury. So That one we got to keep an eye on. They didn't say anything after the game about whether it was a serious one, just that he never returned to the game.
I was surprised they didn't use Melvin Gordon more, but
I was too.
That game sucked.
Yeah,
that game was just like they were just trying to get through.
And you know what? And I think even the Saints tried to not do too much to like rub it in. I think they knew they probably could have done whatever they wanted to.
But I still might lose this week to this guy, but he thought he'd be smart and start Hilton or whoever the guy was.
Oh,
and he got like minus 2 points. So I was happy that happened.
Oh man, big ups to him for, you know, stepping up and, you know, taking one for the team, playing quarterback for the first time since his freshman year of college.
Right after his first completion, he threw his second interception.
Yeah, and apparently this is only the second time in NFL history that a team threw more interceptions than completions, and that was that was your boy Ryan Leaf.
Oh man,
Rick,
San Diego Superchargers.
Yeah,
that's what made me a Charger fan back in the day. So
The Ryan Leaf years.
Nice.
That's what created me, man. It was when he was drafted and he wore number 16. I was a big number 16 fan. I liked the color blue, and sure enough.
That's all it took?
That's all it took. Wow. I was a kid. I was 11?
My favorite number was 16, and I liked blue.
I was like 10 or 11, so yeah.
Wow.
All okay. It took.
Love it.
That's awesome.
And ever since, it blossomed to what I am now.
So that's the thing. That's where you know that you're a fan, because, you know, it's easy to be a fan when the team is good.
It was like in your blood.
you survived the Ryan Leaf years, and you've gotten some, you know, you've definitely gotten some good quarterback play out of Phillip Rivers the last 15 years. So bien hecho, primo, bien hecho.
Right.
Last two injuries to keep an eye on. DJ Moore got carried off the field with a leg injury. They said it was
with a non-contact.
Yeah. So that's worrisome to me. That's like, you know, he twisted an ankle or maybe an Achilles injury, which those are the scariest, you know, the non-contact injuries.
No, did it look like the lower leg or did it look like his knee?
I didn't see it. It said leg. I didn't see the actual, the actual replay of it. So I'm gonna look for that tomorrow.
My season is like slipping away from me, like right before my eyes. So T. Higgins, you know, Joe Burrow goes down. So T. Higgins is pretty much done through no fault of his own. DJ Moore is done. Daniel Jones was my second quarterback to Derek Carr. He's probably done. It's like, oh, man, like all of a sudden I'm just like thin, like all of a sudden, like gee whiz, man. And I need to win next week against Rick. So my fingers are tightly crossed, but it's not looking good for me. Like all of a sudden, like at the end of my season, like bunch of my guys are just like in bad spots. So
football is just such a battle of attrition.
Yeah, man.
Such a, you know,
ugh, I
Adios
say.
Mio. Ugh. Adios mio. Well, the last injury to keep an eye on, and this is one to keep an eye on during the week, Dalvin Cook suffered an ankle injury. He left the game and returned, but as we know with Dalvin Cook, sometimes these things they end up just kind of lingering during the week. So that's going to be a practice report that we got to keep an eye on this week.
Yep. Yeah, it'd be surprising. He's got somewhat of a rough defense ahead for the playoff schedule as far as our playoffs. So you definitely want him to maybe take a week off, get healthy, unless you're trying to get in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. Oof. Yeah. And plus, we did talk about the fact that they've got a tough run during the playoffs. So them and the Bills were two of the teams that had like the roughest schedule during that point. So we'll get into that a little bit more. I'm going to put together an article this week on kind of comparing playoff schedules a little bit. But let's get into the Ay, mijo, los chingones.
Chingones.
And I don't think any quarterback was as chingon as Patrick Mahomes today. 462. I thought he was going to go for 500.
Nah, I was hoping he went and I was going against him.
I mean, it looks so pretty. I mean, we talked about how it looks so effortless. Just, oh, I mean, what an incredible
ball.
That's
crazy. That's bananas right there.
And when you look like, at he got 100 yards more than the second best quarterback.
Yeah, that's just and that's stupid. kind of shows how much better he is than all the rest of the guys. He's just this is real.
That is a real thing.
We had Kirk Cousins go for 307 and 3 touchdowns. Another one.
They really needed him, and he pulled up late. So good for him.
Ooh, man, him and Justin Jefferson, Aaron Rodgers, right. Another guy who made it look
easy. His count double check 4 TDs for the effort.
4 TDs. Yeah. Only 211. Made it look
easy. Patrick Mahomes needed 462 yards to get 3. Right. Rodgers needed less than half that.
He's Mr. Efficiency. Mr. Efficiency. Right? That's Mr. real. Efficient.
Yeah, and he took apart what's been a good Bear defense. So it's he looked so effortless today. And I mean, he missed on full disclosure, I have Davante Adams on one of my leagues, and he missed Davante on like a 50 yarder where it's just like in his hands, it just kind of went through. It's just that's a one.
Ouch. Ouch.
Oh God, I would have lost.
Tommy B, TB12, Tom Brady, 345 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I think that kind of made
He's the only quarterback on this list with multiple interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that just tells you where his play is right now. Him and the wide receivers, they don't have the best, don't communicate as well. The best rapport. There's a route with Mike Evans where he was wide open, but for some stupid reason, Mike Evans decided to run towards his defender rather than just turn around and wait for Brady to throw it on an easy, like, 3rd-and-2. But other than that, Tom Brady's getting – he's got all the weapons. So fantasy-wise, it's tough to tell when he's going to do well, when he's going to suck. But, hey, he doesn't have 2 bad games in a row.
That's true. That's true. Fitzmagic filling in for Tua. With a thumb injury, 257 and 2 touchdowns. Philip Rivers, your boy, 295, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
He's not my boy anymore.
Your old man. Tu viejo. Ricky, tell us about Baker Mayfield.
One thing, he got 258 yards, 2 touchdowns. I felt like they gave him a lot more responsibility this game. I'm not sure, just to see if that he could flap his wings. But he had some wide open throws he just couldn't make. And against a soft Jags defense, this dude is crummy today. It just goes to show you the type of player he is. He can't lead a team that well. Like, he's just not a leader, and I don't like the fact that he's on this list.
I put him on just because he had such an efficient game, and he had over 20 fantasy points. So and actually
he had open touchdown pass, and he just overthrew the receiver easily. It's like, really? Like, right in front of you? Whatever.
And you know, surprisingly, this was not a huge day for quarterbacks.
Tell me about it. My guy got negative points. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Jared Goff get negative points. So just not a crazy. Big game.
I had Kyler Murray. So.
Like a Twilight Zone game. It was like a Twilight Zone day. Like a bunch of quarterbacks were like in the Twilight Zone today. So
Kyler. Yeah. We'll talk about that in the Adios Mio section. But let's get into the running backs. Derrick Henry. I mean, just. Just amazing. 27 carries, 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. I was a little burned because I do have Tannehill, and there was one that looked like it was that was initially ruled as a pass, but then they ruled it as a lateral, so it was a run, not a pass, not a reception. So that sucks.
That's a bummer. Good. Tannehill's trash.
Well, you know what? We should never. I think we don't have to be surprised anymore. When Derrick Henry does this, I think, you know, when he's in our, I'm hijo chingones section here, whenever it's Derrick Henry and does like something monster, it's like, oh yeah, look, Derrick Henry, he just did it again. 178, 3 touchdowns, typical day for Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? Like, he's done this so many times this season.
They were just able to get into the right game flow.
They seem to do that a lot with Derrick Henry. And rightfully so. 50% the guy is a monster. Far. He's a monster. Like the drink and phenomenal. The website. So
phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah, James Robinson had a great day on against a pretty good run
Mr.
defense.
Consistency.
Yeah, 159 total yards and a touchdown. Just
that's crazy.
Nick Chubb on the other side of the ball, 144 yards and 32 receiving yards. Just, I mean, just a good game. Rick, I know you didn't like Baker in this game, but you had to love what you saw out of Chubb.
I didn't get to see too much what he did. I just saw at the end, but looks good. I mean, he definitely made Kareem Hunt unworthy of being on your fantasy team.
There you go. Unimportant.
Well, Latavius Murray was the most important running back for the New Orleans Saints today. 19 carries, 124 yards, and two touchdowns. I mean, the second
no one
week
saw
in a row.
This. Wow. No one saw this.
Nobody.
No way.
One of those where should you expect this next week? I have no idea. I'm going to have to look hard.
Here's what I'll say. Just putting it out there, because I had Alvin Kamara a couple years ago, and when he started just kind of slacking off for a couple games in a row, which is what he has now done, he was hurt. I'm just saying when it happened, this exact same thing happened to me a couple years ago with Kamara. And he just kind of faded. And no, everyone's like, wow, that's so weird. He's had a couple of bad games. I don't get it. I don't understand. I bet you he's hurt. I'm just saying.
I don't mind. It's just I have Murray behind him. So it's like, let me know and I'll put Murray in.
Right. Yeah, but they're not going to. They're not going to let you know. That's the thing. Like I said, that happened to me. And I just ended up benching him because I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then next thing you know, they're like, oh, yeah, he's hurt. So we're going to sit him for a couple of weeks, or he's out for a few weeks or whatever. But that was after I think I benched him, you know, 1 week, because I was just didn't want to take a risk. And then after that, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's hurt. So he's going to sit out a couple of weeks and get better. So it's like, come on, man. Like, yeah. Well, look out for it. I bet you something wrong with it.
And, you know, the carry split was 19 for Latavius Murray and 11 for Alvin Kamara. So
exactly. So I'm telling you, something's wrong. Something's wrong there. Ooh. Keep an eye on it.
Maybe they're just managing his workload a little bit. Give me load management.
2 weeks in a row? 2 weeks in a row? I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, David Montgomery, 143 total yards and a reception against that Packer defense. I mean, it just shows he's just, you know, any running back, any serviceable running back is going to get their, you know, going to get plenty of points and yards against the Packers.
Yep.
Yeah, Ricky, you did a good job of making him your captain on the Sunday night game.
I figured he was going to do something. It was about time. I figured he was healthy. Green Bay had that little hole in their defense. Sure enough, it paid off a little bit. I wish I was just a little bit smarter, but hey, I'll take second.
Yeah. Well, Aaron Jones got 90 yards, and Ricky, you get the next couple. Kenyon Drake.
I hit you guys up in the
morning.
You're welcome. I said, should I put in Kenyon Drake or CEH? Because Kenyon Drake was projected 11-point whatever, CEH 14. But something told me Drake. Something told me ask a lot of people. You guys said Drake. I forget who else said Drake, but my buddy who has playing said put in CEH. And I was like, I'm going to put in Drake. And sure enough.
And he paid off right away.
Right away, he got a touchdown. And he was also at the goal line right before the half. Could have had another 6 points. So it's good that they're utilizing him, that they trust him again.
Finally.
Crappy game.
Yeah,
crappy
man.
Game statistically for Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, and they lost the game. So maybe they don't go to that anymore because they want to be more flashy, because they win when it's like that, because they keep defenses on their toes. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens. They shouldn't have lost this game, but we'll see what happens here going forward. The other guy that we're going to talk about
is go for
Austin Eckler. Now, this game, the Chargers were coming from behind the whole time, which usually a running back doesn't get that much action. But this guy got 16 receptions. He caught 11 of them for 85 yards. That's money. That's money just as a receiver.
Money.
That's 19 points. And then you add his 44 rushing. He almost had a touchdown at the end. Some stupid-ass play. I don't know what they're thinking. Did you guys see it? You saw it, Georgia.
Yep.
I saw you text.
Yep.
So stupid. But anyways, he was phenomenal. Hopefully, if they keep this up, especially with Herbert, he's gonna be something that you're happy you held on to. And if you have him and CMC in a league like I do, oh, it's gonna be monstrous.
Well, Wayne Gallman got 94 yards and a touchdown. Ronald Jones, 103 total yards. He had a long touchdown reception. And Nyheim Hines.
It's hard to watch.
I know.
Going against Jones, and to see him do that little hurdle, I was like,
oh, that got in the
touchdown. I was like, he was out. But no.
Oh, well, when Jonathan Taylor went on the COVID IR, I put Nyheim Hines into the starts of the week, and he balled out for 95 yards. So nice. That was a good one. And Ricky, I poked you in the ribs a little bit when Cam Akers had that 61 yard run today and ended up with 84 yards and a touchdown, saying who dropped him?
and I was so surprised. I was looking at everything. I was like, who's the least owned in everyone's, and who's the least owned percentage on my team? And it was him. And I was like, I'm just tired of holding on to him. So finally, when I do, he does this crap. But it's all good. I have the first waiver, so it's gonna end nice. It's gonna end nice for me.
You gonna pick him back up? Is that, or did someone pick him up already?
I'm gonna pick somebody, but I'm gonna make everyone think I'm gonna make everyone think one thing, and this way they leave him to me, and I can just pick him up for my second waiver. So we'll see.
You mean you're gonna do what you always do and wait till like 12:31 a.m. and then like once the waiver claims go through, then you're gonna scoop him up.
There's no point to doing that anymore. This is the last week.
Last one, exactly. That's true. Right. There's no point. This is the last one. So. Just do it. Jump in, and that's it. Just
load up.
Waiver one.
Lock and load, baby. Lock and load.
Well, you know, we talked about on the wide receivers and tight ends. We talked a little bit about Tyreek Hill, but this is, 13 receptions on 15 targets, 269 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was over 200 yards in the first quarter.
Rarefied air.
Yeah, people were talking about it like he was going to go for the Willie Anderson's record of 336 yards. Flipper. But to show
Flipper what Anderson, wow. He was the Dolphins, right? Is that a Dan Marino reference?
No. He was the Rams.
Oh, that's right. Who was I thinking? There was another guy on the another
Flipper.
I can't remember. Some other guy on the Dolphins with Dan Marino that had a cool name. I can't remember.
Oh, Duper?
Yeah, there you go. Mark Duper, Super Mark Duper. Clayton. Yes, there you go.
Yeah. So, this is, from that era, this is to show what an incredible game he had. Jerry Rice is the only other player in NFL history where in 1995 he got 13 receptions, at least 200 yards, and at least 3 TDs in a game. So
this is the last time that it was done, right? Last time.
The only other time in NFL history.
25 years ago?
Yeah. And that was the first time. So amazing.
Wow. Amazing. This is rarefied air, man. Yeah. That's real. That's a real deal.
Well, awesome. Jarvis Landry, became real again, 143 yards on 8 receptions and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson definitely filled in nicely as the number one guy with Adam Thielen out. 7 of 13 targets for 70 yards.
We kind of saw that coming. I mean, was it last week that Thielen had two?
So, and Jefferson had one, so
yeah. So things are clicking over there with the Viking offense. So you knew that there was definitely going to be some more TDs to be had by the receiving corps, and yeah, you just had a feeling that it was going to be Jefferson. So yeah, good for him. Saw it coming, and he did it anyway.
Well, the next two players, I put them together just because of the fact that they, just watching them both, they look like very similar type of players, built very compact. Very great with yards after the catch, just physical, incredible ball players. AJ Brown and Debo Samuel. Brown got 98 yards on 4 receptions, 2 touchdowns. One of them was on a return, on a onside kick return that he just took to the house. And Debo Samuel, 11 of 13 targets for 133 yards, just so many yards after the catch. I mean, there were times that he was just shedding, tacklers like it was easy. I mean, you're just sitting there like, these are world-class athletes, just incredible ball player. Incredible awesome. Ball player. I put Davante Adams, even though he only had 61 yards. But this is the sixth game in a row with a touchdown. So
yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, in the NFL, anyone that plays fantasy knows that, you know, and like you said earlier, week to week, you know, any given day, your receiver can go off, you know, two TDs or whatever. And there seems to be always that game where your guy goes for like 5 points. But Davante, to your point, six games in a row where he's got, you know, and obviously A-Rod's throwing to him. So he's getting more than just a couple of yards. So he's getting, you know, 10 points, 12 points, 15 points, 18 points a game. And he's done it six games in a row. That is definitely something special. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's been one of the engines behind one of my teams that started 0-5 and now is
nice.
On a 7-game winning streak. And
nice.
Six of those games, Davante scored. So
yeah, exactly.
Him and AJ Brown. But
coincidence?
Let's run through the rest of these receivers. Allen Robinson, 2 touchdowns on 8.
Amazing.
Yeah, just against that good secondary of the Packers. Mike Evans, 50 yards and 2 touchdowns. Davante Adams did whatever he wanted against the Jets for 108 catches for 119 yards. I had to put the next guy's team on because I don't think any of us knew that Colin Johnson is in the Ooh. NFL and on the Jaguars.
The rookie.
Oh, yeah. He's 96 yards and a touchdown. And
next guy, Robbie Anderson, is going to have some big shoes to fill because he's going to be he's now going to be the number one threat.
The official number one. I mean, he kind of was unofficial number one. Yeah.
We'll see what he does now that all the defense is going to be aimed on him.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chris Godwin got 97 yards. T.Y. Hilton rounded out our receivers with returning to the land of the living or the Chingon section with 81 right, yards.
It's right. been a while since we've seen T.Y. Hilton on this list, man. This might be the first time, actually.
it's definitely been the first time since early 2019 season.
Yeah.
Before he started getting hurt. You know, we had some tight end games that of significance that Evan Ingram got 129 yards, catching 6 of 9 targets for the Giants. Gronk, Mr. Soy Fiesta, 106 yards on 6 of 7 targets. I mean, just he had himself a ball game. And Travis Kelce, it's funny. He almost gets taken for granted where it looks like 82 yards is pedestrian. But that's a huge game for
tight ends. It's like one of the best.
Yeah. You just say it's funny. I mean, like they were showing the stat that I think now he only needs like 24 yards coming into the game. He needed a little more than 100 yards to become the first tight end in NFL history to get 5 1,000-yard seasons, and he's doing it in a row. So
wow.
I mean, we're talking about one of the all-time greats here, guys. I mean, that was a baller list of guys that were on there. So I mean, there were some chingones on there, Gronk yep. being one of them. So that just shows you how good these guys are. And then just finishing out the tight ends, Robert Tonyan, 67 yards, catching all 5 of his targets and a touchdown. On you know, it seemed like everybody was catching touchdowns for the Packers today. But I mean, he's a guy that he could help some teams going down because now it looks like this is 2 weeks in a row that he's scoring with Davante. Since Davante came back, people were talking about him not catching as many balls. So you know, with tight end being so scarce, you could be doing a lot worse,
right?
All right, let's get into some. Ay, Dios mío! Oh
man, do we have to?
we'll make it. We'll make it quick.
Cause... A reminder on top of the list. A reminder of Derek Carr today. My God!
¿Cómo te duele? ¿Cómo te duele?
Yeah, because I'm riding the playoff hunt. You know what I mean? I'm sure I speak for many listeners out there who are right there with me that just needed Derek Carr to do something. And to go for like -4, whatever the heck it was, that's just god awful. And
yeah. That's a tough.
after what he did last week, I mean, it should have been a pitch and catch, you know, among the Raider receivers. And just God, man, I don't get it. I just don't understand how he went from last week to this week just crapping the bed. I just don't understand.
In such a smash spot. Such a spot where he should have just destroyed. And
yeah, I mean, so many sites, you know, Instagram, Facebook, you know, whatever, you know, Roto World, everybody's like, streamers number one, you know, Derek Carr. Oh yeah, this is a prime spot. Oh yeah, he should go off. Everyone's saying, oh yeah, against Atlanta defense, oh man, he's gonna go off, you know, Derek Carr for sure. And then he does this, like, man, I'm not even like what.
Yeah. Eso duele. Yeah. Well, Taysom Hill got only 78 yards passing, though he did get two touchdowns on
ugly game. I mean, it was just both offenses were anemic, and he should have given his touchdowns to Kamara.
Of course you're going to say that.
I mean, I almost feel like maybe they were playing down to the competition. That's Josh Allen, only 157 yards. He did get two touchdowns, one passing, one receiving. One rushing. He ended up with 32 yards on the ground. Matty Ice, Mateo Yellow, 185 yards, two touchdowns. He just continues the narrative that when Julio Jones is out, he's not going to be the, you know, Matt Ryan that we know. So, and then Jared Goff shows that it's a week-to-week league because 6 days ago he was on top of the world, and this week, you know, 6 days later,
not so much.
He's getting negative points.
Ouch! Yeah,
against their arch rival. So. Yeah, I know he's from the Bay Area, but does he have to be so nice to those guys?
Yeah, right? Oh, my God.
And then after 300 yards last week, Cam Newton with less than 100 yards passing, less than 50 yards rushing. Ugly. But they still won.
And he did get a big run, and that actually brought on a penalty to lead to the game-winning field goal. So – not a total loss. And then Mitch Trubisky, he did have three touchdowns, but he also had three turnovers, two INTs, and one fumble. So, and some of his throws just looked ugly. I hope he does well. I hope he comes back. I just don't have a lot of confidence that that's what's going to happen. And, people were talking about how this is probably the last time that the Bears are going to be on national TV. So, we don't have to see their offense. So let's get into running backs. Dalvin Cook said, ouch. You know, he was 9,500 on DFS and, but only, you know, he had the ankle injury. He ended up with 82 yards. So, Ricky, tell us about Kamara.
No one knew. We should have assumed so, but only 54 yards. At least he got a reception this week, but for minus 2 yards. And it's like Taysom Hill just couldn't throw to Kamara fast enough, because there's one time where he had the screen set up, but he waited and he got sacked. So I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. I just wonder what the talk will be between now and their next game.
Yeah. And, you know, Josh Jacobs had himself a rough game, only 44 yards total. Matt Breida. Man. With running backs just dropping left and right in Miami, he only got 53 yards total as pretty much the starter. CEH, so Ricky, we saved you from 37 yards, 39 yards total, 37 yards rushing, just ouch. Two receiving. So, ouch. Otra vez, de nada.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. That helped a lot because Drake went off.
Melvin Gordon, 31 yards rushing on 12, you know, just again on a day.
And he got that at the end of the game when Lindsey was out.
Yeah, they should have been running with him more. They should not have been passing. They should have been old school.
Yeah, ground and pound, man.
Yeah, should've. Old school, you know, the practically a wishbone type of not a wishbone, but you know, run after run attack. Over on the wide receivers and tight ends, Michael Thomas, just after his first 100-yard game, he regressed to 50 yards. Antonio Brown only got three targets and 11 receptions on two receptions, 11 yards.
Yikes.
Tyler Boyd, he's just showing what gave us a preview of what it's going to be like without Joe Burrow.
Cincinnati, yeah, man.
Quince.
That's not good.
He was the quinceañero, but 15 yards.
Not good at all.
Oh. Michael Pittman only, again, after two good weeks in a row, especially one of the weeks against Tennessee, just not a big game. And say only 28 yards. And Cooper Kupp held to 41 yards himself. So
yeah, I had him on my DFS team, and that didn't work out very well.
Well, you know, one of the guys that I named one of the plays of the week was Darren Waller going up against the number 32.
Yeah.
You know, defense against tight ends, and he ended up the tight end 17 on the week with only 23 yards receiving. So
that's horrible.
And you know, Jordan Reed closes out with 18 yards, two of six receptions.
Tight ends their floor is so low, and so many of the high ones, like Waller's a top five tight end, and he got 2 points. Ugly.
Yeah.
Muy feo.
Well,
is Monday Night Football going to be fail? So
it's supposed to be raining, right?
It's supposed Tuesday to be raining. Night during, will be. Yeah. Tuesday night, there's going to be some snow, but Monday Night Football, we got Seattle 7-3 at Philadelphia 3-6-1. Here's the interesting thing. The winner of this game is going to end up in first place in their division. How funny.
I mean, I think no matter what, Seattle's going to win, but I hope that the Eagles can look somewhat good so that people can be like, okay, look, they might actually turn it around. But we'll see. I mean, Seattle's defense is horrible. So Carson Wentz, if he's going to do something, this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
And everyone's finally healthy. Not everyone's healthy, but I mean – I feel like they finally got some weapons on there when you have Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert, and you got Fulgham becoming himself. So I'm excited for them. On the other side,
Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, he's all right. Russell Wilson's going to tear this team up. So
yeah.
Other than that, the rain, I'm hoping for the rain because that'll make it fun.
I mean, it's supposed to stop raining. It's supposed to stop raining in the evening and just be cold. So that's one thing. What's interesting is, can Philadelphia keep up with the points? I have a feeling that Carson Wentz is going to try, and that's going to lead to some interceptions. That's the thing I'm worried about.
That is generally how it goes with Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, I think, oh, go ahead, Heck.
No, I was going to mention the thing that stands out to me is that Seattle's favored by 6, and it just seems that all signs are pointing to them, you know, covering that. You know, I think the X factor here will be actually how good Seattle's defense is, because you know, we're kind of poo-pooing on Carson Wentz, but Seattle's defense isn't all that great. So we're going to see, is he actually going to throw those picks? I mean, is Seattle's defense stout enough to be able to make those picks, or is Carson Wentz able to bypass them or to overshoot them and make those throws and you know, make it closer than that? Because I think Russell Wilson, he has a breakout game here. He's kind of, you know, he started the season out guns blazing, and just, it was just amazing to see that the guy was just going bananas first few games, and he's kind of settled down a little bit more recently. But I think this is that explode game again for Russell, like he had in those first few weeks of the season. I think he goes off, and I think Seattle covers, and they went by a lot more than 6.
Oh, wow. All right, everybody. Eso es todo for our show. Yeah, thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Please make sure you subscribe and leave us a review at Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, check out our original content at FamiliaFFB.com, as well as our Twitter at FamiliaFFB. You can find me at JorgeMartin17 and Hector.
What the heck? 2 T's.
Yeah. And don't forget our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias otra vez, everybody. And remember, we're getting into the holidays. Todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.